This week's Sedra is Mishpatim. Mishpatim is the follow-up to Yisro, whereas Yisro is the sand and light show, the fire and brimstone, the revelation of God, the holy event where God's voice was heard throughout the world. Mishpatim is the everyday, the nitty-gritty, how you live every day as a Jew, many, many mitzvos being Adam lechaveiro in Parshas Mishpatim as well, Prakim Chav Alev, Chav Beis, and Chav Gemo. In Perachav Dala, the narrative at Har Sinai resumes. It's important for us to understand that Torah is a package deal. It's the great burst of inspiration as represented in Parshas Yisro. And it's also, more often than not, the everyday living, according to Torah mitzvah and halacha, of the everyday life of a Jew. I want to talk about one specific mitzvah, or one specific pasuk, I should say, and that is the last pasuk in Parak Chaf Beis, Parashas Mishpatim. So the pasuk tells us, Parak Chaf Beis, pasuk Lamed, Va'anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, man of holiness you shall be to me, U'basar basada trefa lo sochelu, and torn flesh in the field you shall not eat, L'kelev tashlichun oso, you should throw it to the dogs. Rashi says, Va'anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, says Rashi, Imata Kedoshim Uprushim Mishakutse Nevelus Utrefos, Harayatem Shalivim Lav in Chalp Shali. So Rashi says, if you are holy, meaning if you, the Bnei Yisrael, are holy, and you separate yourself from eating unslaughtered and unkosher carcasses and meat, then you are mine, says God, and if not, you are not mine. This is the Pasuk. Now we know when we learn Chumash, there's a major principle. Everything is with intention, and topics that are juxtaposed are always connected. So you won't have random topics put together one next to another without a lesson. So that means there's a lesson in these seemingly unconnected statements in this verse. V'anshe kodesh tiyun li, men of holiness you shall be for me. What is the connection? Why does the Torah introduce eating properly slaughtered meat? You're not allowed to eat an animal that was torn in the field. Throw it to the dogs. Why is that introduced with Va'anche Kodesh Tiyundi? I quote from Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky. Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky is the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Torah's Chaim South Shore. And this is from his Sefer Parsha Parables Anthology. He always asks a question. He illustrates the answer with a story or a parable, a mashal or a story. And then he gives the answer. Says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, Mishpatim, simply translated, means ordinances. The portion teaches us the laws that deal with various torts and property damages. It discusses laws of damages, servitude, lenders, borrowers, employers, laborers, laws of lost items, responsibility of the finder. Many of these mitzvos are discussed in the section of the Shulchan Aruch Chosh and Mishpah. But there are quite a few mitzvos mentioned that engage the purely spiritual quality of the Jew. Some of them deal with kosher restrictions, others deal with our relationship with Hashem. One verse that declares the requirement of shechita, ritual slaughter, begins with a prelude regarding holiness. People of holiness, you shall be to me. You shall not eat flesh of an animal that was torn in the field. To the dog you shall throw. This is the pasuk, obviously in English, that we already quoted with Rashi. The question is simple. There are many esoteric mitzvos whose only justifiable reason is spiritual. We don't need to know the reason for mitzvos. We keep mitzvos because Kadosh Baruch Hu said keep the mitzvah. Whether you understand or you don't understand, there might be a tam mitzvah, there must be a taste of the mitzvah, but we don't keep mitzvos because they go according to logic. Salvechik has a whole piece on this. If we keep the mitzvos according to logic, what happens when they're not logical? We keep the mitzvos because Kadosh Baruch Hu said. So Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky says, why does the Torah connect the fact that Jews should be holy with the prohibition of eating meat that's torn apart instead of ritually slaughtered? There are many mitzvahs that require self-control. They require us to abstain. In this case, we have to abstain from torn meat. Why start with Anche Kodesh Tiyun Li? Can there be another intonation to the holiness prelude? And he answers with a story. David was a serious yeshiva student. He boarded the last flight out of Los Angeles on his way back to yeshiva in New York. He was glad they were going to serve food. He left home in a rush. He didn't get a chance to eat supper. Sitting next to him was a southern Gentile who knew little about Judaism and less about kashrus. He considered David a curiosity. As the plane flew eastward, he spoke to David about Jews, religion, the Bible. Hungry and tired, David humored him with pleasantries and not much talking. Finally, his kosher meal was served. The kosher deli sandwich came wrapped in a plastic tray and was sealed with multiple stickers and labels testifying that it was kosher and integrity. His newfound neighbor was amused as David struggled to break the seals and reveal a sandwich. By the way, if you've ever been on an airplane and tried to open airplane seals without a knife, it's true. which unbelievably looked just as appetizing as the non-kosher deli sandwich that Erlein served him. "Hey," said the neighbor, "your kosher stuff doesn't look too bad after all." David smiled. He was about to take a bite when he realized he had to wash his hands for the bread. He walked to the back of the plane to the sink. It took a little while, but soon enough he returned to his seat. His sandwich was on the tray, nestled in its ripped open wrappering, unscathed. But then it dawned on him. There's a rabbinic ordinance that if an unmarked or unsealed meat is left unattended in a gentle environment, it is prohibited to be eaten by a Jew. The rabbis were worried someone may have switched the kosher meat for non-kosher. David felt he was in an enclosed atmosphere of an airplane cabin. Nothing could have happened. No one is selling meat 5 miles above earth. He would have no reason to switch the meat, but halacha is halacha. David did not want to take authority to overrule this age-old halacha. He sat down, made a blessing on the bread, and was careful not to eat the meat. He put the sandwich down, and he was hungry. "Hey, partner," said the neighbor, "what's wrong with your sandwich?" David explained the rabbinic law prohibiting unattended meat to be consumed by Torah Jews, and then he said, "I'm sure no one touched my food, but in my religion, rules are rules." The neighbor's face turned white. "Praise the Lord, the rabbis, and all you Jewish folk." David looked at him quizzically. "When you were back there doing your thing, I said to myself, I never had any kosher deli meat in my life. I'd like to try it to see if it's as good as my New York friends say it is. I snuck a piece of your pastrami. It was so good. I realized how skimpy I left your sandwich. I replaced your meat with a piece of mine." Someone up there is watching a holy fellow such as yourself. That's a story my Mordechai Kamenetsky tells. And then he comments and he quotes the Pardes Yosef. The Pardes Yosef explains the correlation of the first half of the verse, of Anshe Kodesh Tiunli, but the second half of the verse, Ubasar Basada Trefalos Ochedu, by quoting from Maseches Yevamos. The Torah is telling us more than just an ordinance. It's relating a fact. If you will act as a people of holiness, then you shall not eat flesh of an animal torn. Meaning the purity of actions will prevent mishaps and transgressions. Anshe Kodesh Tiunli, if you live an exalted life, you will amass zuchuyos for yourself. So you will be protected from averos. And therefore, basar basada trevelo sochelu. That's how the Pardes Yosef explains. If we live to strive, if we strive to live on an exalted level of holiness, we will merit siyata deshmai to be protected from sin. Simple as that, says Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky. Keep holy, and you will be watched from above to ensure your purity is sealed and delivered. This reminded me, and it tells us that we have to live to a higher standard. Because Hashem is always watching us, even if nobody else is watching us. And when we live to a higher standard, and we maintain our Kedusha and strive for Kedusha, because Baruch Hu will give us an extra degree of Siyata Deshmaya. This reminded me of a story told over in the Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, biography. The Art School Expanded 25th Yahrzeit Edition, Rav Moshe, Life and Ideas of Hagaon, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal. Listen to this. I mean, the story is an exact illustration of the insight we just learned from the Pardes Yosef. Rav Moshe's confidence that heaven guided his decisions along the path of truth was visibly apparent. Once, he ruled an aguna was permitted to remarry, and so she did. After she did, a story began to circulate her husband was alive, which would have meant her second marriage was a tragic mistake. The woman's family was horrified. Those closest to her emotion were dismayed that he would be humiliated by an error with such tragic consequences. The only one not daunted or intimidated was Rav Moshe. As his grandson, Rav Mordechai Tendler, tells, Rav Moshe remained confident he ruled according to halacha, and quote, Hashem would not permit such a calamity to occur as a result of his psak. The rumor had to be false. In due time, Rav Moshe was proven right. The first husband was not alive. Rabbi Meir Zlotowitz was present when a related incident was brought to Rav Moshe. A Holocaust survivor claimed she was permitted to remarry on the basis of evidence her husband had perished, Rachman al-Islam, during the Shoah. And after more than 20 years, when she had grown children of marriageable age, her husband was found to be alive in Eretz Yisrael! The distraught woman came with her rabbi from South America to seek out Rav Moshe's guidance. Rav Moshe asked the woman to tell her story. She told she brought her case to a well-known rabbi in one of the displaced person camps after the war. Based on available testimony and evidence, the rabbi ruled it correct to assume her husband dead and gave her a heter aguna. It was on this basis of ruling that she remarried. That rabbi passed away not long after the war. Due to the chaotic post-war conditions, she lost the document. Now she and her family were suffering indescribably from a mistake that was not theirs. Rav Moshe asked her to repeat the story. She repeated the story. He asked her to tell it a third time. The atmosphere in the room was tense. Why was Rav Moshe asking the poor woman to tell the story three times? Rav Moshe's brow was furrowed in intense concentration while everyone in the room was silent. Then abruptly he rose. He leaned on the table and he said to the woman, "It cannot be. I know the Rav of whom you speak. He was a Gaon and Tzaddik. I do not even approach his ankles in Torah. I permitted over 2,000 Agunos to remarry. Never did the first husband reappear. And you are telling me such a thing happened to such a Tzaddik? It is impossible. It cannot be." The people in the room were shocked that Rav Moshe, famous for his mild manner and compassion, could have spoken in such a way to a woman in distress. But their shock gave way to incredulity when the woman broke down in tears and admitted her story was false. She had been sure her husband was dead, she assumed. She asked herself, how could he have survived? When she heard a highly respected rabbi passed away, she made up the story concerning the document using the rabbi's name. This story is not meant to be comment on that woman, anyone from that generation, Kadoshe Elyon. It is a comment, and there by the grace of God goes, I've done in such a situation, Rechman of the Son. It is rather an illustration of the tremendous Siyata Deshmaya Rav Moshe merited. Like the Pasuk says, as explained by the Pardes Yosef, Anshe Kodesh Tiyuli, if you strive to live always a life of pure Kedusha, Ubasar Basada Trefa Lo Sochelu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guard us and ensure we will have extra levels of Siyata Deshmaya, not to stumble and sin in iniquity. Halavai, we should all be zocha to always strive to live a life of Kedusha, ben Adam Mechavero, ben Adam Malkom, ben Adam Ma'atzmo. And then we will merit Siyata Deshmaya to truly be saved from sin. Thank you so much to all Kol Tov, Besuras Tovus, and Be'ezrat Hashem, Shabbat Shalom.